You got your Bible tonight. I want to read scripture that's found in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, and we may read some in Colossians. You know, sometimes I begin to study this stuff. We come in here and, you know, we get into it, and I just kind of get started on Wednesday night, and I think, man, that Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this. and this is one of those kind. So if y'all hear me preach something on Sunday morning that y'all have heard on Sunday night or Wednesday night, it's not because God hadn't given me nothing else. Or I don't study, or, you know, I've run out of messages. It's just, there's a couple of them that just keep coming back to me. And I'll tell you, Brother Tommy, that known if, that just keeps coming back. And this is one right here. As I sat down and began to start studying, I thought, Lord of mercy, I don't know if I can cover that. But here's what I want to share with you tonight. I want to read out of Philippians chapter number 1, and I want to talk about a life-changing philosophy. And you think about it, what is your philosophy or purpose for life? And we're living in a time today where people need that. They need a philosophy for life. Now, I listened to a message that Brother Marvin gave me by a preacher who was talking about that. But what he was talking about is how the world combats us with philosophy in itself and how it tries to cause us to not believe or not trust in what God's word says. But when I look here in the scripture, and this is something that I'd been studying on, Paul had a philosophy for life. And his philosophy for life changed after he met Jesus Christ. Because before, his philosophy for life, it had to do with his education. It had to do with him being a citizen of a particular group. It had to do with what member of what particular sect he was a part of. Very prestigious and very much persecuting Christians. But when he became a Christian, his philosophy for life changed. And he wrote, really, what we call about 2/3 of the New Testament as far as books, so that we'd understand grace and what it means, and that we would understand what a good philosophy of life should be. Now, you know, sometimes you ask the question, and I think about it more now than I ever have. In fact, I was thinking about a verse of scripture today. I'm not going to get through this at all tonight. I'm just going to give you part of it. But if you think about this, there's a verse of scripture where Paul said, "Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel." He had come to the point of knowing who Jesus was so much that it just absolutely was all over him. And you know, there are things that I enjoyed doing, and it was mentioned a little bit ago that, you know, Julian Walraven, I would like him. He was a fisherman, and you know, I tell my boys that if hunting were an Olympic sport, I'd be a gold medalist. And we watch these shows, you know, and these videos and all this. And folks, that's what I do. I got stacks of hunting videos. I get primos every year. And I watch them. I turn the sound down to almost nothing. But I can see the fall leaves anytime I want to see them. And I can see the animals. And I can see the outdoors. I love that stuff. But I want to tell you something. As much as I love it, that's not what I live for. And it's not the most important thing in my life. And when we look at the disciples, when Jesus walked by and he called them, remember, Peter was a fisherman. And he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And he walked with the Lord. And I will tell you, a lot of times I compare myself to Peter. He was stubborn. He got into trouble. But, you know, there come a time there when he denied the Lord. There was a period of time they didn't know what they were going to do. And when Jesus come, what was Peter doing? He went back to fishing. But I want to tell you something. I don't believe he was content fishing anymore. And that's why when the Lord was on the shore and he said, "Come and dine," he grabbed that coat and cast it around him and jumped into the water. But God knew right where Peter was at. And he come to him, and the Lord had the coals baked, and he ate. And you see, what did Peter do? I don't believe he quit fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with hunting. Nothing wrong with golf, and ladies, there's nothing wrong with shopping. As long as it's kept, you know, in, you got to keep it in control. You know what I'm talking about. But that's not the most important thing. And this same Peter that was so stubborn that gave God so much trouble, he preached and thousands of people got saved. And his convictions became so strong that history teaches us that he was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died. Well, when we look at the life of Paul, we see that he gives us a philosophy for life. He had, almost like some folks whom God calls out from among the world, he had greatness in the world. And I shared this with Brother Bruce. I heard a missionary who was called to China. And when he was called to China, he started studying the language. Mandarin. I can't remember. You know how I remember that? I think about those little oranges that are in the little cup. Okay? And I had to bring the picture up to remember the language. But he studied Mandarin until he became so proficient at it that companies who were going to China were trying to hire him to go and be their translator. And there was an oil company that was going, and they, and this was years ago, they began to offer him salaries that were absolutely unbelievable. They said, we'll pay you $100,000 a year if you'll just come and be our translator. He said, no, I don't, that's not what, can't do that. We'll pay you $200,000 a year. I can't do that. We'll pay you $500,000 a year. And he said, I just can't do that. They finally got to the point they offered him $1 million a year to be a translator. And you know, it's kind of like what Paul, he had so much going for him at the time. He was a leader. He stood and told people what to do. But this missionary, he said, your salary is big, but your job is too small. And what we see when we look at this is that's where Paul was at. And I want to read this scripture to you. We may not be able to get into all these points, but I want you to think about a purpose for life. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, and all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. And here's the mission for Paul's ministry in these next three verses. He says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, folks, that is a desire for the church to grow. It's a desire for the church to grow in their relationship with God. It's a desire the church to grow in the love of God and in understanding. And if you go down to the 11th verse, and we're going to read down to number 26, it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places. Now here we see a man that's imprisoned, but he's sitting and God's using him. He's writing these letters. And people are actually, and you go on and you can read more, people are beginning to preach the gospel more boldly because he's in prison than they would have if he were walking around. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my death. You know, I've heard it said, and I've said it. I actually stood in front of a youth group and said this: there are things worse than dying young. Sometimes people don't want you to don't say that to my kids, they'll say. Let me tell you what's worse than dying young. It's living to be old and dishonoring God. I'd rather, and what he's saying is whether I live or die, I'm going to honor God. But listen to what he says in the 21st verse. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I know not, or I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to go and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, Paul's philosophy for life. We read in the 8th to the 10th verse what Paul's prayer was. He was praying for the church. And here's Paul's purpose. In verse number 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And if we understand that if I'm living for Christ. And if I'm born again, saved, child of God, to die is gain because I'm going to be with the Lord. Remember what he said. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, Paul's the one that told us that. And you remember the scripture over there in Corinthians where he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or out of the body I cannot tell, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw things I can't even tell you about. You go over 15 years back, you come into the book of Acts, and you see where Paul is stoned at Lystra. And you can look at the dates and they match up perfectly. And they took him outside of the city and they threw him down on the ground as dead. And they left him as a dead man, and the disciples came up looking at him and at his body, thinking they were about to bury Paul. But he began to move and he got up. Now, folks, here's what I believe, and I just can't help but believe it from reading the scripture and reading what Paul told us to expect, because he spoke with confidence. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I believe God gave him a glimpse. I believe God let him see what was over there so he could pin the words down with confidence for you and I, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we look at this, Paul understood what his purpose of life was. You know, if I thought, for me personally, as much as I enjoy the outdoors, that I could spend the rest of my life having the number one rated hunting show on the Outdoor Life Network, I'd be excited. But I wouldn't want to do it if it meant I couldn't ever preach. And I want to tell you why, because Jesus is coming soon. And if we're going to see somebody saved, we need to do it now. And that burden is on my heart, and I think it's not getting any lighter. And we don't want it to get lighter. And we want to understand what our purpose of life is. We're not going to be here forever. And we need to do what we can for God while we have the opportunity. You know, if you look at verse 12 through 18, we see Paul's rejoicing. What's he rejoicing about? Paul is rejoicing because Jesus Christ is being preached. And, you know, he goes through a scenario. He said, you know, some of them are doing it for this and some are doing it for this. I just thank God that Jesus, he said, I'm just glad that Jesus is being preached. You know, not everybody's going to be the same. You ever think about that? I hate to hear any preacher mocking or making fun of another preacher. I don't care if you're a different style, if you, you know, whatever the difference is, do it for God. Sometimes I've heard preachers get up in the pulpit and they begin to mock the preachers like I grew up listening to. Let me tell you, that preaching was good enough to save me. You know, and you know, the truth is, it was good enough to save them. And what we ought to do is, what we ought to do is do what God's called us individually to do. And that's what Paul did. And as he looked at these other people, his rejoicing was that Jesus Christ was being preached. Well, what was his desire? His desire is in verse number 23. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He just wanted to be with the Lord. You know, I have a friend that I talked to Sunday afternoon. And his mother was just put in hospice over right behind Cobb General. And Kendra came in and showed me a Facebook post where she was singing a song with a pastor. And her response was, her song was just ready to go home. Ready to be with the Lord. Now, I don't know how old Paul was. I mean, somebody probably could tell you here. But I know this much. What did he say? The last letter he wrote, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Hence, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. He wanted to go and be with the Lord because I believe God had let him see a little bit of it. And when he saw it over there, there's a longing. Because here's why. You realize that home is not here. He said, we're pilgrims and strangers. Seeking, you know, y'all heard that song? Pilgrims and strangers seeking a city to come. So his desire was to go and to be with the Lord. But look at what he said. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, here's what I believe. We're going to be here until our work is done. Amen. And what I see in Paul's philosophy of life is he had learned why he was here. And his desire was to fulfill the work that God had for him, knowing that there was something far better waiting for him. Now, I want to give you just a couple of more verses, and I'm going to close, but these are good verses. These are verses that work real good if you're trying to talk to your children. I lay these on my boys all the time when I've got them doing chores. This is in Colossians chapter number 3 in verse 23 and 24. I remember my dad, he used to tell me this. I remember something my dad told me one time. I used to work with him. My dad was a painter. And he was a pastor. He pastored all his life. But he was a painter. He worked for himself. And from the time I was about 12 till I guess 16, when I got my first job at the Big Star grocery store over on Austell Road, I used to go with him and I'd putty and I'd paint. And he taught me something. He said, son, if you agree to work for a man for 50 cents an hour, you are to give him a hard day's work. Right. If you agree to work for a man for $50 an hour, you are to give him a hard day's work. Now, I was making 50 cents an hour, not $50 an hour, okay? But I learned ethics because he would work and he was honest, and he did what was right. And I want to tell you something. I can't help. He was the greatest man I've ever known because he lived it every day. Because I believe he believed this book. And this is a verse he used to tell me about. It says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And I want to give you one more, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You see, a philosophy for life that would absolutely change America is if people understood what Paul understood and wrote for us. That we live on this earth to honor God. And there is a heavenly home that is prepared for us. The Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of beauty here, but I believe it's just a fraction, Brother Tommy, of what we're going to see. Amen? I just like what I see written. And sometimes I'm going to be honest with you, I pull it out and I remind myself. Kind of like we said here Sunday night, sometimes all the stuff gets in the way. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of really the important things. Amen? Man, I hope that was a blessing to you tonight. You can go home and read those scriptures. And there are obviously others. Anyone have a word or anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight?